Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College Weston. Welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have a good friend, a fellow Michigander, because we're both from Michigan. I've got Dr. Barb Eaton coming at us all the way from Alaska, which we'll talk about in just a second. Give you kind of the rundown on Dr. Barb. She's a 97 Logan grad. We haven't even talked about how she got into chiropractic because Michigan is just has so many great chiropractors there. And another great one spawned from Michigan. 97, went back to graduate in 97. Went back to Michigan and practiced there for about 10 years. Then went to Tennessee. And from Tennessee, found her way back to Michigan and then to Arizona. And then finally to where she's been resting, and flourishing in Alaska, Eagle River, Alaska, outside of Anchorage. And I tell you, Barb, it should be I think there should be a TV show that says Eagle River, you know, kind of deal. It's great. And she's been coaching since 1999. And today we're going to have just a really cool conversation. And I'm just welcome. I'm just so happy to have you on the show. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you. And thanks for the invitation. And nice to meet all of you.
Absolutely. Let's talk. First of all, we just found out just like, 15 minutes ago, we're both from. I mean, it's just crazy. And the even crazier thing was that my assistant, my executive assistant, Sharon Seto, and Barb's parents went to the same school in India.
Yeah, my mom grew up in Pakistan and India. And when Sharon and I were talking before you jumped on, she said she was in India. And then she said something about a boarding school. And I was like, which boarding school? And she said, Woodstock. I'm like, shut the front door. So my mom was there from 7 years old to 17. And Sharon was there after that, but has been active in the Alumni Association. So we started kind of just figuring out that we know so many of the same people.
It's like innately how that works. It's just crazy. I mean, the thing, and if you don't know this to all of our viewers, there's probably about, 100,000, if not, minimal in India, boarding schools, because most kids, if they're in villages or whatever, and they can't afford, these schools take them on, and they're usually nonprofits or whatever they might be. But Barb, it's such a small world. It's just crazy. But listen, I'm excited about all the things you're doing in chiropractic, and we just had you at the Wave. You're actually coming next week to speak at the school, right? You're going to be doing our Friday seminar. And I know the students are very excited about it. You're hooked in with the sorority. You're going to be doing some things with the women on campus, which thank you very much, because it's always needed. I know just from talking with you, one of the things that you do very well is connect, right? Connect and build tribes or build groups, that kind of thing. Or build loyalty, loyalty, in a community, because I think that's key for everybody, whether they're in practice or whatever business they may be doing is around that. But if you don't mind, is that a good topic we can start on?
Yeah, absolutely. Building our loyal tribe, whether it's in practice, so it's our practice members coming together, or it's with our colleagues, or even in our personal lives, building our loyal tribe, I think is really important. My husband and I just got married 13 years ago. And so being adults together and having a community of loyal friends is so important. And I think not only when you're young, but as you get older, it's also important. So building that loyalty within yourself and with others is vital to really enjoying life.
Right. So, and I think everyone, I don't think there's one person who would disagree with that, right? Because it's building your network your support systems, all that stuff. Talk about how, you know, some of the things that you do around that to make that happen.
Yeah. From a professional standpoint, I think it's really important when you're going to build loyalty, number one, to really look at who is the ideal person that you want to create this loyal tribe with. So in marketing terms, that's called your ideal client avatar.
Yeah.
And it's really like, you know, just getting in their mind and like, what do they think and what do they know and what do they like? And in practice, so that we can align our messages with what are they wanting to consume and what part of life are they at and what do they want from us? So it's your ideal client avatar is number one. The second thing in building that loyal tribe are brandable chunks. I think you're a music nut. I think you and I have talked about brandable chunks are kind of like your licks.
Yeah.
You know, like if you go to a concert, my husband and I got to go to John Prine. Do you know John Prine?
Of course. Of course.
We were at his last concert at the Grand Ole Opry in 2020. And talk about like a superstar. He was supposed to end at 11 at night.
Went to one.
Yeah, like 1:30, you know, like the guy's missing half his face. And it was just really, really special. I think he's unfortunately a victim of kind of the last couple of years. But that's really fun. That was really fun to go to. So brandable chunks, like even, you know, even in our families, we have brandable chunks. We have a lexicon that means something to us. So building those brandable chunks. The next one.
Well, let me jump in because I'll share with you. Yeah. You know, I just was every quarter I do the first seminar like you're going to do next week. I do the first one of the quarter as long as I'm in town. I do it. And the one we just did, I talked about who's your avatar, like the avatar not just for your practice, but in your life. What's the avatar for if you're single, for the mate that you want? What's the avatar for the friends that you want? Like what is it? You know, it's funny how we grow away from sometimes our high school friends, right? Who we grew up during that formative years, right? But
yeah.
we don't grow away from them. We just grow into a different model of what we're looking. We go off to college, if that's the case, and we end up seeing different people and meeting different people. And the next thing you know, that avatar changes because the interests change, right?
Yeah.
And it's important for people to understand that because, like you just said, we have to know who we are too. And if we know who we are, right, then you can project what is it that you want. I'm talking about on a social level, on a friend level, on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're saying with patience also.
Yeah.
Right. That who am I attract? If I want to do sports, I better not be attracting pregnancy.
Or at least have another chiro in the area that
you can do it. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Let's keep it within chiropractic. And I love that. I love seeing chiropractors be like, you know what, Ron, I don't want to adjust athletes, but let me refer all of them to you. And you know, like there's plenty to go around. We only serve 2.38% of the population regularly. So let's get to know our chiropractic neighbor and refer to each other.
Yeah.
It just seems to make sense. That's for sure.
So my daughter says that I have a daughter who practices in Denver, my oldest daughter, Lauren, and her husband, Matt, and they practice in the same office, and Lauren's raising kids. I know you were just with your grandkids. And Lauren, she only takes care of pre and postpartum and infants, newborns. And, you know, and once they get to a certain age, she, you know, so if I said to her, so that's all you take care of. And she said, that's it. She's got like a 6-week waiting list. And I said, that's it. She goes, that's it. I said, well, what happens if my wife came to you, you know, for pregnancy and, you know, delivered and you take, and she wanted to refer me in. She goes, I wouldn't take care of you. I would just send you to Matt, her husband,
right.
You know, like, and that's why, you know, when you're really focused on what you have, I guess it's just like, you're going to attract that in, right? That magnet kind of a thing.
Yeah. And I think it's beautiful, a husband-wife team, right? Like obviously you and Mary, and there's so many cool husband-wife teams in chiropractic, and then really being able to just like be lit up by everyone that you're serving, just like friends or other people in our lives. One of my I love the idea of like red, yellow, green for your practice members. Like the greens are the people who really light you up, like green light, go, right? And yellow is like,
And reds are like the black holes, you know, that kind of.
Yeah. They're the ones that you refer. But yeah, I think it's beautiful that she does that. And it makes it really clear the people that she serves of, no, you go see her for these things. And then you can see somebody else for other stuff. And, you know, we see it in other healthcare professions, or we see it even like my husband's a journeyman plumber. He's not going to do your electrical.
Right.
He's a plumber.
Right. And he's good at what he does, and that's what he does. So let me ask you a question. So we talked about like the avatar. You talk about, I love that red, you know, the green light, yellow light, red light, right, kind of thing. Would you recommend for people right now in their practices to go through their active files, people who are coming in, and actually kind of see who's red, who's yellow, and who's green? Because in my mind, I'm thinking that, you know, if I've got a bunch of reds there, I'm definitely not making space for the green ones. You know, yellows, you can kind of move up into a green space, right? You know, you can work with them and get up there, but you know, tell me, what do you do around that?
Yeah. And I think like, that's the third part of loyalty is authenticity. And if authentically you look at your schedule or you look at your files and there are a bunch of red people, I mean, I'd rather have somebody say to me, hey, Barb, I think you're a great person. We're not a fit.
Yeah.
But let me find you somebody who is like, you know, like this person down the road, they're a great chiropractor. They love serving conditions like yours and they do a really great job. I think you'll be a great fit. So with your permission, I'll make the introduction. So you're in the right place.
So,
and that's just part of being authentic.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it also creates a happy practice too.
Yes.
You're seeing the people you want to see. You're doing what you want to do and you're not doing electrical work when you're not asked to be doing electrical work when you're there to do plumbing.
Right.
Because right? That's one of the biggest negatives, right? Where people ask you to do something that you don't do, you know, and you have to tell them, I'm sorry, but I don't do that. You know, that kind of thing. Not that that's a negative to say I don't do that, but if it continually happens, but when you really know what you want, and you're good at what you do and get better because that's what you're working with, it's going to happen. Tell me the second thing. I probably cut you off because I wanted to go into the avatar. What was the second piece of loyalty?
Yeah. John Prine. So the first lick.
The licks.
The licks. Yeah. Your brandable chunks. Mm-hmm. Like I build badass chiropractors who are instinctively successful.
Yeah.
That's just a lick,
yeah.
Right? Or care, don't carry, serve, don't save. That there's a lexicon. I mean, even within your community, there's a lexicon that we have within our friends and our family. Then the third one is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is be there for your people. And going back, Ron, let's piggyback for just a second on, I think we miss the opportunity for service, reach, and impact and income in our practices by failing to see that we have so many opportunities for profit centers within our practice. Mm-hmm. One of my really good friends is a high-end financial advisor. And he's like, every single extremely wealthy person that I know is a business owner. And they never like got wealthy overnight.
Right.
But what they did is they got really good at one thing. And kept doing it. And then learned how to sell other people's time within their brand, right? So like in mentorship, raising up associates who are grounded in chiropractic, who love serving, who have bought into your brand, and then they become a profit center. So maybe the red ones aren't great for you, but maybe they're great for an associate who's just getting started.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Barb, because you know, a lot of people, their mindset, you know, I know this in chiropractic, at least, you know, when I was practicing up until about 6 years ago, when I took the seat at Life West, they don't hold that they can have an associate because they're not busy enough. So, and number one, that's a lack of a mindset. I get if you just start practice, but it's not even, it could be an independent person. It could be whatever. But if you bring somebody in to help build something, right? Of course, you got to get established and have your base, but to help build something that Mike, well, I'll give you an example. Mary and I are practicing. We see a lot of people. And my oldest daughter, who's in Denver right now, her and her husband or fiance at the time, came to San Diego and they practiced in our office, right? And we stayed at our same volume and they just started growing their practice. They actually worked for us at one of them. They split the shift, which we were crazy to do that. But so one worked morning, one worked out. We never knew who was going to be there, right? But they worked for us as an associate to make some money, which was all right. While the other was, when the one who wasn't there was building their practice on the other side of our clinic, right? Because we had a pretty large clinic. And they built it and finally came to us and said, hey, listen, we can't do this anymore because our practice is getting too big and we want to put our focus and energy there. And I said, perfect. Mary and I were at like plateaued at a very nice place, right? But even if we could have grown if we wanted to, we would have had to work, but they just walked in and just started growing.
Yeah. So
it wasn't a lack of people, right? Never a lack, right? They just grew their thing, right? You know, it's just amazing. And I love what you said because the profit centers are there, aren't they?
Yeah. And there's not a shortage. Like if you're someone who's struggling and your heart's desire is to serve more people. I learned a long time ago, you can't catch a fish in a sporting goods store. No matter how good your rod, your reel, and your bait, you got to be out in the rivers and the streams and the oceans, because that's where the fish are. And so I think oftentimes, maybe volume starts to drop, right? And then we start acting as if our volume is who we are. So then we get all like crazy in our thoughts and get into that scarcity mindset. Like walk outside, walk to a school, walk to, if you like serving older people, walk into an old folks home. And the cool thing is then in your reticular activating system, which we know makes our beliefs true, if you ask it, it's going to show you all kinds of people who need your touch, who need your love, acceptance, applause, appreciation, chiropractic adjustment. Like they're there. It's just sometimes we didn't inform our neurology to look for them.
That's right. So I love that. That is beautiful because you know what? It's like when you walk out of a seminar, you go do a PI, you go do a PI seminar on a weekend, and then next week, the phone rings off the hook with PIs.
Yeah.
It's the reticulating, it's a reticular activating system is what
it is.
Yes,
you literally
put it in and now you're going to create the reality around it. And if people get that, if they get that they create their reality, right? You know, and it just depends on what you're feeding. I tell the students all the time, I said, you know what? I think it's more important, what you're consuming or eating here than here,
yes.
Right? Because the toxins that you're putting in up here are much more dangerous to your life, right? And to what you want to create in life than what you're putting into your body. If I'll eat Twinkies all day, which I won't, but I'll eat Twinkies all day as long as I'm putting great stuff up here, right? Because this to me is just more important. Barb, when you talked about, the fundamentals around that, right? And building loyalty and making that happen. And you touched on the branding also, avatars and different things like that. I think one of the questions that happened, by the way, most of the people that you work with is a large percentage women, is it men, is it both? Tell me what the demographic is.
So my boot camp is 86% women.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges from, students start in the boot camp when they're students all the way up to Dr. Lori Benz is almost 70.
That's great.
And I love that. I said to a woman this morning, here's what the boot camp looks like. Look in the mirror. Like it's everyone's represented, like diversity and like the way that they practice. And the thing that we have in common is we love.
Yeah. Can I ask you this? It might not even be an answer to it. I don't know. Or there might be a big answer to it.
Yeah.
Is there a difference of what you're seeing right now? First of all, you're a woman chiropractor, right? Mary's a woman chiropractor. Are there distinct or are there just a few? Because if there are, there's probably many, but is there a few distinct differences that women face compared to men. You know, right now 50% of our students in all the schools are female. When you went to school, I don't know what it was, you know, when you graduated in the late 90s, I'm not sure what, when Mary graduated, you know, in 1986, it was, you know, it was 15 to 20% women, you know?
Yeah.
But what's some of the differences that happen that you're seeing now?
Yeah, you know, Mary and I talked about this, that we didn't know there was an option besides put your head down and work.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, maybe it was growing up on a farm. I just knew that that's what you do. And I honestly think it's tough on women today. And I want to talk on an area that I think it's tough on men, because I think it's our responsibility raising our kids who are raising our grandkids to be mindful of this. But it's almost like with the advancement of understanding the human body, now there's all of this guilt for these poor young mamas. Like, you don't dare show yourself wearing your baby, because there's going to be somebody in the audience that's like, oh my gosh, you're only supposed to wear them forwards and not backwards. And, you know, their right foot has to be like 5 degrees less than their left foot. And just like with food and all of this stuff. So I think they're under a lot more scrutiny than we were. I don't remember the comparison game being as strong when we were all in practice and younger as it is now. And now obviously you're comparing yourselves to billions of people because of social media and the access of information. I mean, let's face it, at about 10 o'clock when we were growing up, the television was like winter, right? Like, there wasn't 24-hour programming. Fill in your head. Like, you talk to mom and dad and you can only go so far on, you know, like our phone cord only went as far as like the dining room. Right. So we really thought we were being sneaky, because we would climb under the table, right, you know, to talk to our boyfriend. And my parents were like, no, we're right here.
I love it. And just for our viewers to know who weren't around when we had VHF and things like that on our, and rabbit ears on the television set.
Yeah.
The snow is called static in real life. So when the station was off air at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it just went shh, and you just see static on there. You're exactly right. I mean, the bits of information that are coming in is probably 1,000 times more a day, you know, than what we would get in a month. And yet you're right, the comparison and all that stuff and things that happen, it could be traumatic on somebody. I mean, it's tough.
I mean, Ron, even look at, I thought I was supposed to live pretty broke when I was a student. You know, I it never occurred to me that I was supposed to take vacation. I have to just tell you this funny story. I was at Life, and I took a student out for coffee. She was getting ready to graduate and had been to lots of my things. And so I'm like, let's just go get a cup of coffee and let's talk about like what's happening after school. And we order, and she tells me, yeah, you know, it's just been really tough. I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going to go on vacation after I graduate. And I'm like, what? Like, I literally, and she could read my face. She's like, you don't think I should go on vacation? I'm like, I mean, you can do what you want. And just, I thought like you graduate and then you get to work. Right. I didn't know you celebrate with some vacation. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, no one was going to be paying for me to go on vacation after graduation. Like, you get out there, sister, and you start making some money.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really different. And then, and this kind of breaks my heart of, in our culture, and I don't know about around the world, but I think it's probably true, there's such an emphasis on female in the last decade and more, that I just wonder, what message are we sending to our young men? You know, like, even walking around the mall and every single picture is a woman, or every ad has a woman. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm really sensitive to, yeah, let's raise strong women, but can we not forget about the men?
Yeah.
Can we choose like and instead of or, and know that both genders deserve to be raised strong and confident, and that, making one, elevating one, doesn't mean we put the other one down. We elevate all.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Cause you know, I know there's people out there that feel that. I've just raised three daughters, you know, Mary and I, so I don't see the male part of that. You know, I am a male, of course, but thank you for saying that, because, you know, I think it gets lost in translation a lot of times, that, and it doesn't have to be male, female. It could be other, you know, dualities also. Right. And the truth is that, you know, yes, we have to identify with who we are, and there is a difference, and there's, you know, different ways that we operate, our operating mechanisms work at times, you know, but we're still, like you said, we're all human beings, right? And all, you know, we're all of the human race, right? And it's like, so thank you, because I think that's super important, because I think it gets lost in places. You know, at the college here, we do, our sorority does a women's adjusting seminars, right? So 4 weeks out of the quarter, they bring women in, and it's just during lunchtime, and they bring them in from the community or wherever they bring them in, you know, wherever they come in, and they just teach women, because you can learn in a class how to do a Gonstead, you know, side posture adjustment, which is really important, but it's not geared toward a woman's body, or, you know, it could be geared more toward a man's body, or thrusting down where men don't have, you know, breast tissue is, you know, developed as much as women have. So there's all these differentials, and there's all these techniques that women can learn to how to do this and what's right, you know, that kind of thing. So we listen to our students, because before the, you know, years ago, I want to go back 4 or 5 years ago, they're saying, we want to learn how to, you know, can we get women teaching us in class and, you know, that kind of thing, right? Well, you know, and we do have women instructors, but those women have to teach men also. We can't separate classes by gender. So they did this, right? And it's really amazing, Barb, because, and here's what I tell them, here's what I tell the students, men can go too, because men should be in those seminars, maybe towards the back, let the women be up front, but men can be there, because a man might have a female associate, and they should be able to pass this information down also, right?
Yeah. So
it's not about the separation, but it's about understanding that there are differences, but everybody should be participating in that, right?
Yeah. And you know, that's one thing that the men who are in the boot camp, they love the nurture aspect of being with a bunch of women. And I find too, and they have shared with me, they feel like they can be more vulnerable, because it's not like the male ego. And not saying any man has done something wrong, but like, it's just innate. It's just born into the circuitry, right? And so I love like just watching them just like blossom and come alive of like, oh my gosh, you see me. And it's okay to say like, I don't know how to do that. And so that's a real beautiful thing. So I'm sure that's happening in the women adjusting classes too, is like, hey, Dr. Mary, can you help me with that? Because I know I've got these big biceps, but I don't have a clue how to move that.
Right. Or you give a big bicep male a newborn baby.
Yeah.
A whole different touch, especially as a student, could be a whole different touch, even just the comfortableness, you know?
It
really is incredible. It's just amazing, you know? Such fascinating stuff. I just love it. You know, Barb, let me ask you this, because on some level, I'm just going to say this. I hope it's appropriate. You've got a beautiful gypsy heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that we've talked before about, you know, and you've been to India with your parents, right? And you know, you guys have traveled as kids and all over the place. And, you know, like the world is your home, right? And then watching your path go from, you know, Michigan to St. Louis school, back to Michigan, then to Tennessee, Arizona, you know, and then to Alaska. And I think anybody, and I really mean this, anyone who lives in Alaska and does the amount of travel that you do, flying back to the lower, you know, the lower 48, right? It's kind of like, that's a lot. I mean, you know, for you to get anywhere, you got to, your first stop is Seattle usually, right?
Yeah.
And that's like a 6 hour, 5 hour commute, whatever it might be, right?
I mean,
and then from there, you figure out how you get to where you go to.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a special person to do that. And at least in my estimation, it takes a special person. And I don't know, I want to call it walking on the wild side, I guess, you know, like, you know, because I know that's kind of part of your DNA, you know, about really kind of reaching out and doing that. Let's talk about that first. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I invite all of you to read the book called The Telomere Effect. And you know, aging happens when our telomeres fray, like shoestrings. When shoestrings stray, like get frayed, then they're no longer as effective, right? And that's what happens with our telomeres for aging. And here's the thing, and I truly believe, I think all hellish things came out of Big Pharma. Like, that's just the truth. There's this lie that's been perpetuated that aging has to be all of these things, that we don't get to have fun anymore, that it's too late to build a legacy, that it's too late to repair a relationship or try something new. And do you know that that's not what science says? Right. Science says use it or lose it. So that means as we get older, that's even more of an invitation to walk on the wild side. Like, I had never ridden, even though I was from Michigan, I'd never ridden snow machines before. I'd never do, like, if any of you follow me on social media, you know, like, I've embraced everything Alaska and I absolutely love it. And I never did any of that until I met my husband. I didn't hunt. I didn't fish. I didn't have an Argo. You know, now we have his and her Argos. I wasn't ripping up on a snow machine into the mountains. And it proves that use it or lose it. And so I think there's just such an invitation to us as leaders in our community to demonstrate, like, no, it doesn't have to be like that. We don't have to get old. We only get old if we tell ourselves that we're old. And I think it's a really big lie that I would love to see us as chiropractors embrace and be like, no, 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 no. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because you talk about the book, The Telomere Effect. You know, I don't know if you know or not, but LifeWest has been doing a telomere study for years. We started before the pandemic, and then we had to pick it back up again. And we're taking blood samples, not us, we have phlebotomists taking blood samples of people under chiropractic care over a certain amount of years, right? We try to
around
25 or 30 years under chiropractic care, and especially chiro kids, not younger kids like my kids, but, you know, people like Carl Cleveland, who's, you know, third generation, you know, chiropractor, right?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, and, you know, when you look at telomeres, you're exactly right. They only tell you your biological age, right? Your chronological age. I'm 66 years old. Well, what does that mean? My telomeres might say that I'm 51, right?
Right.
Or you might say I'm 89. I don't know.
Yes.
But it's just so interesting. And we react to our mind, like you said, right? Oh, I'm too old to do that. Wow. What's the reticular activating system doing with that, right?
Yes.
You know, or, oh yeah, I can't do that. I used to do that when I was younger. Big ones, right? It's like, my gosh, like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to make yourself, you know, and create yourself to be? It's amazing, you know, but I also think what you touched on was, you know, do things. You talk about movement, like go travel and go do the things that you might not allow yourself to do. Maybe go back to that new graduate that you were with, right?
Like, yeah.
Doing something different than what we did. Yeah. We graduated. Yeah. We were seeing patients within the minute we had to go get our license, and we're already thinking about what we have to do, right?
But
their mindset is different. Their mindset is, I'm going to take off and rest a little bit before I get on the field, you know, and heal from school, whatever it might be. I'm not judging them at all. I think it's cool, but that's where their mindset is, right? But when we get in practice, how many people don't go away? They don't take vacations.
Right.
You know, their patients are doing more than they're doing, you know, and they're just not even healing themselves, whether it's physical, it doesn't matter, you know. It's really incredible. And I think to walk on that wild side is like, go do what you like. Look at you. You went from here to here to here to here. And now you're way over there, you know.
Yeah.
On the left coast and way north, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so cool, you know.
And you won't know what you like until you try it. Like, how many of us, when we were raising our kids, just like my sister always used to say, just fear factor it. Just take a bite. You know, I was convinced I didn't like sushi and all these things until I met my husband, and I didn't like game. And we only consume that which we harvest ourselves, whether it's moose or caribou or or salmon. Totally messed up some salmon last night. We're both like, that sucks, but we've got more. So it's okay.
More out. Exactly.
Yeah. And so I just encourage anyone who's listening, if you're stuck in a rut in practice, like go explore. And you'll probably find out there are lots of things that you want to do, and even use a whiteboard in your office and just put like explore and ask your practice members, like, what's the cool stuff you're up to? Like turn me on to something, and then build community and connections that way. So there's so many things. And I think first and foremost, it's important to create a life and build a life that you're not looking to escape from. You know, I love my work life and I love my business, my playtime. And the reason I love them both so much is it's the zigzag principle. One of my coaches, Rich Christensen, wrote a book called The Zigzag Principle. And again, I think this is like straight out of pharmaceutical hell, this idea of work-life balance.
Yeah.
What do you mean balance? Like 50%? I'm going to fail. Yeah. No, when I'm at work, I am all in. And when I'm with my husband and my family, when I'm not working, I'm all in there and you will not get a hold of me. And that's what really brings, like, that's what lights us up, right? Like that's the zest of life. And all of us have it. We just sometimes have to be shaken and awakened to it.
Yeah. And what you just said is so true. And when they're working, you can love that too. That light you up also, right? So your whole life is lit up differently because you're having to work and you're thinking and you're pouring into people's cups a lot. You know, what I'm hearing you say is, you know, we give and give and give over on this side. And then on this side over here, like the travel and that now people are pouring into us, right? So because we can only, you know, you can serve and serve and serve and serve, but we have to be served, taken care of too, right? And it's really that, you know, I love that. I got to figure out another word for it because it's not work-life balance. It's just life balance, right? It's just living, you know, and living to the best that we can possibly do.
It's just being all in.
All in, all in. Barb, I am so thrilled. I've been waiting for this conversation. It was just amazing. Amazing, you know, and I just want to share with you that that you truly inspire me, you know. I've traveled and I've been all over the place and I've lived in different cities, but you know, you just follow your heart, and that's what I love. And you know, all of a sudden you want to drop down, and you know, I know we had to set this up about 6 months ago or 9 months ago to have you come to the school because you're doing stuff down in the lower 48, right? Yeah. And you keep a balance, like you really, really live. What you walk your talk, you know, and so thank you. And thank you for all you're doing, you know, for women in chiropractic and people and students and men in chiropractic, just what you're doing. You're doing a great service. And I'm super, super inspired by you. So I appreciate having you on the show today.
Thank you. And right back at you. I love all that, like you and I talked about of, I think it's so incredible that students are given an opportunity to do mission trips.
Yeah.
And I think those of us who've been out for a long time, let's grab a student and take them with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, let's pay it forward. And I remember being in India. Actually, we were in Delhi. And as you know, sadly, sometimes parents maim their children for begging. And so instead of giving them money, we all went and grabbed bags of oranges. And I remember sitting there for hours and just peeling the oranges and giving them to these children. And I mean, I was in college and that still stuck with me. And so I think every single person who goes on a mission trip, your heart is forever changed. Like it just imprints. And so if you haven't been on one and you're 50, 60, 70, please get in touch with Dr. Ron and sponsor a student and go and see the world through their eyes and let them see the world through your eyes.
You know, I just want to let you know that you just inspired me the minute we're done, because that is a great thing. And I've never thought of that, you know, it's a great thing because I would love to have doctors sponsor students, not just give them money. No, go with them. Yeah, pay a little bit, but go with them and be with them, right? and, you know, and be able to experience that. Cause you're so right. The heart opens no matter where you are in practice. I always tell this to people, if you want your heart to open up and come back to your practice rejuvenated and just ready to serve and, you know, go do a service trip because it'll just blow your mind. And plus the miracles that happen, you've been to India, the miracles that happen there, but it's just great. So thank you for that. And thank you for all you're doing. And to our listeners, thank you. Well, you know, our viewers, we just really appreciate you. There's a bunch of links there down below that you can, you know, be able to contact Dr. Barb and get to different, you know, areas. This is also becoming a podcast. So we'll be dropping this on our podcast. You'll be able to see where that is. And we just are very, very excited about what we're doing with the Leadership Line with docs like Dr. Barb Eaton. And I'm just thrilled that you're with us. Thank you for helping us grow this podcast, our webcast, so that, you know, we're at 4,000 plus, and we just so appreciate you spreading the word to other people because it's so important, you know, chiropractic, non-chiropractic, there's so much that came out of today. And Barb, I've got so much swimming in my head right now around this. So please, and maybe listen to it again, but we appreciate you. And remember, we drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop the Life by Life West, which is geared more toward younger practitioners, but everyone can get something from it. So just jump on those and just know that that we love and appreciate you. We are doing big things in chiropractic, not Barb and I, we, meaning all of us, meaning anyone who's watching. And just keep doing your best. Keep your life balanced. Think about the avatars, you know, and how you want to start to build community around that and the loyalty of your community. And well, let's just keep growing this and start getting this world a healthier place to live. So until we come at you again, Barb, I thank you again. Thanks for being with us. And everyone else, we'll see you next time around. And keep loving those around you and hugging those around you. And remember that that we are greater than we were ever led to believe. So we'll talk to you later and see ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.